You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Clip-clop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's saddle talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride.
Hello, Sandy.
You are so excited.
Can you want to tell everybody what you're so excited about?
My heart is a flutter because I think we finally figured out our audio situation.
Yay.
Is this how you could tell we are like a baby podcast?
We are such a baby podcast.
My God.
But that leads us right into...
Thank you. Thank you, listeners, so much.
Yes, our numbers have started to grow so much, and I am just amazed at, I mean, when you look at our numbers compared to someone like, say, Joe Rogan, they're tiny, but for us, we had an additional 62 listeners yesterday.
So in 24 hours.
And 34 today.
Like, remember when we started, we were excited if we had 50 people total listen at all to anything.
Yes. Yes. And the other thing that I try to remember, my son always tells me, you know, Mom, if there were 100 people standing in this house, it would be crowded. So 100 listeners is amazing.
That's really insane. Great. That is nuts.
It is nuts. It's awesome. And we just want to say thank you to everybody. And, you know, if you're sharing our podcast with your friends, your horsey friends, we thank you so much. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, so, we super appreciate it because this is just a passion project that we decided to do on a lark.
Yes.
And it's working out. And I'm having a really good time. Are you?
I am. I really... would love to be able to retire and do this full time. So I didn't have my muggle job and I could just play with ponies and talk to you and have a podcast. It would be so wonderful.
Stare into each other's eyes and talk all day.
I know.
Well, thank you, listeners. We are very happy to be here for you and entertain you.
Yes. Because we think... we're hilarious.
We think we're entertaining.
We think we're so funny.
I don't know if anyone else thinks so.
Well, I think at least 100 people
apparently
do.
Apparently 62 people yesterday did.
Yes, and 34 today. So
and the day's not over.
It's not over because you know I'll be texting you tonight with our final numbers. Because it's East Coast time. So by 9 o'clock. Yeah. So by 9 o'clock. It will be done. So yay. 9 o'clock is our cutoff. So yay.
Thank you, friends. Thank you.
So we have a pony report.
We have so much to report. So our audio is doing great. We're just wondering how many people are actually watching the video.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't have time.
Yeah.
They don't have time to watch.
Right. I need to like shovel shit all day.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Especially in this heat. Yeah. I shovel twice a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So we came home with the Mustangs. And
we did.
My husband was amazing and separated my area into 5 equal parts. So now each horse has a lot of room. And I renamed Sienna to Sierra because my husband has a coworker named Sienna. And we just thought it would be best to not refer to her as Sienna anymore.
Aww.
So Sierra it is, and she is just lovely. I have realized, though, that she's, she has a few behaviors that I think are indicative of maybe being taught through a little bit of fear rather than kindness. And so not to, you know, say that she was mistreated. She wasn't. But maybe she's the type of horse that didn't need a heavy hand, but maybe the person training didn't realize.
Like intimidation tactic?
Yes. Whereas with Kaya, who is coming along so...
Yay!
I don't even know what the correct English language is, but fantastic.
Kaya's the Palomino that looks like a Barbie pony.
And
literally.
She's doing everything. And I decided to send her off to training. I'm going to start with 30 days and see how that goes. I think I have her in a good place where the person I'm going to be sending her to is has a better time.
You know? I think you really have. This was probably the biggest part of the pony report I was excited about for you. I think you're doing a great job as an owner.
Thanks.
With very realistic expectations.
Thank you.
This person doesn't know your horse. You're going to drop it off. He has to figure out where the holes are and then work on what you want to work on.
Right.
And let's be honest, your horse isn't going to settle down for a week. And I feel like when you send a horse to training, if you really think anything's going to get done in 30 days and you haven't done anything with your horse, probably not going to get much done. But you have done so much with her. She's fantastic on the ground.
Yeah.
She gives to pressure. She's lovely to be around.
Yes.
She's great with her feet. So you are giving him an animal that's pretty trained, friend.
I hope so. And I'm hoping, too, that he'll be open to maybe an interview or I can document his training of her in little segments because obviously I'm not going to be there every day. Working on her, right? So that's exciting. And I'm really looking forward to reporting more on that. So what about your pony report? What do you got going on? How's your Mustang?
My Mustang is really cute. I feel like I'm a little bit, I always do this to myself, I'm a little bit behind in a way because I had to spend the first about week and a half rehoming Colt the Mustang. So
yes.
A big part of my pony report is that Colt the Mustang has moved on to his new home.
Yes.
So I'm really excited for that. I feel like we did good by him. I fed him according to the UC Davis refeeding program. He gained a lot of weight. He's a happy boy. And so now he's at his new place. And then now that brings me to three horses. So I've got Armani, who's a big lughead that I love. I've got Aspen, my cute little pinto, and then I've got Bebe. So I'm just going to call her Bebe for now. I don't know. I might call her something else. But like you, I think there's been some intimidation.
Yes.
And it causes fear. And instead of her reacting, she's been internalizing and she freezes.
Right.
And so then after the freeze, she'll either just take it and she relaxes like way later, which is putting up with something versus like accepting it, right? I always make a mistake when I talk about that. It's like accepting it versus, I don't know, like it's like she's putting up, tolerating.
She's tolerating.
That's
so it's tolerating versus acceptance.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I feel like she does a lot of tolerating. And that's not what I want from my horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like this week I'm getting to know her more. And to me, she seems a little reactive more this week than last week. I feel like maybe this is the real her.
You think maybe she's settling in?
I think she's settling in.
And so
now she's showing me like, oh, I am scared of loud noises and I can be scared and I know you're not going to be upset with me. So I'm just going to react right now instead of holding it in and like just being paralyzed. So we used to call that at my old barn. We called it dead zebra. When a horse goes dead zebra and they just lie there, it's like the damn lions are eating the zebra. And you're like, zebra, just say no. But you can't, right?
When I had Willow and I was trying to get her used to the trailer again after having brought her home because I wanted to start taking her places, I put her in the trailer and I hard tied her. She had a rope halter and I hard tied her and she pulled back and went dead zebra on me and just collapsed.
Yeah.
And I got myself out of harm's way. All I could do was stand there and wait for her to just come back to life.
Girl, how long was she down?
Well, of course, it seemed longer than it was. It was probably a minute.
Yeah.
Was she
groaning?
No.
It was freaking out when they groan. I've only seen it a few times.
No, but she was like catatonic.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell? I'd never seen that. But when you said dead zebra, I was like, That's exactly what it looked like.
That's literally it.
Yeah. And so then once she finally came to, and it wasn't violent.
No.
She just like was like a temper tantrum, a child having a temper tantrum and held their breath so long that they just passed out.
Yeah.
That's all she did. It wasn't a violent fall or anything. She just like passed out. And I just had to wait for her to come too.
Girl, her circuits were overloaded.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the ultimate way that a horse can go catatonic is when it's not just an emotional catatonic state, it's physical and emotional.
Yeah.
And I've only seen it a few times where it's physical and emotional, but they do it emotionally all the time.
Well, she only did it once. I mean, that only happened one time.
With the physical, with the emotional?
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely understand. And I think that you need to be an observant owner if you are looking to have a horse that doesn't go catatonic on you, because the catatonic state leads to eruptions, right? Like it's gonna affect them so much that they're gonna blow up at some point. So you think you have this great horse, and then it does something like completely out of character because you don't know its real character.
Yeah, exactly.
And a horse that seems quiet is actually dangerous if it's going catatonic. I'm not saying quiet horses are dangerous. And I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if a horse goes catatonic, you think it's a quiet horse and it's not.
Well, I think the one thing that we learned from Jessica, and I know I did, is that even though you think your horse is calm and falling asleep, that they're not. They're internalizing it. I mean, yes, it can be. It can always be one or the other. Either your horse is fine or it's dying.
Or it's having an emotional breakdown.
Or it's having an emotional breakdown. So, but I understand now as an observer, my horses that are tolerating what I'm doing and they're just shutting down. That's what my Mustang does. I think yours does too.
Yes.
It's like you'll ask them to do something and they do it because they're being told to do it. And then when you stop and you're waiting for the lick and chew, then you don't get it for so long
because
they're just internalizing.
It's like they have to reboot their emotional computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I know. And I feel like she's coming back to me faster, but I think that's just something that we're going to have to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason I got rid of rehomed Colt, the Mustang, so quickly is because my Mustang wants to make a baby.
Yes.
And I feel like this is the second time this has happened to me in the last year.
It is. It is.
I will not allow horses to mate.
No.
One of them's going to break a penis.
I know.
I cannot have a horse with a broken penis or hips.
And the vet told you she knows how to do it.
Which is why I want to call her Bebe, because she wants to make a baby. And that girl knows how to get around. So I don't know. I might be changing her name later. We'll see. But that's my pony update.
Yes.
I'm excited for three horses and really scared at the same time.
You know, every time I hear you say that, I'm like, try five.
Girl, I don't.
Try five.
I don't know how you're doing the poop alone.
The poop is nothing. It's nothing. It's just one more horse.
Yeah. And, you know, in Nevada, if you clean up the poop and you put it into trash cans, it's only $8 a month for a new trash can.
It is.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
We're up to five. So we have four trash cans for poop and then one for personal, like,
use.
Trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shows you the ratio of human to animal.
You know what's happening, though? So I've had to, this is kind of part of a pony update, I guess. So I have had to switch Autumn and Max over to two times a day they get pellets. They get senior pellets. And then they get grass hay at night. And that's because of their poop. It's so water. Max's was getting so bad. I think he had that fecal water
syndrome.
Yeah, because it was just unmanageable.
You are feeding so many different ages of horses right now. You're feeding geriatrics and you're feeding babies.
I am.
I mean, they're more like teenagers, but still.
Yes.
4 or 5 year old, that's a pretty young animal compared to, you know, 25-year-old.
Yeah. And Shooter's, I had him on the pellets because I was trying to figure out his hives, which
oh yeah, you still,
I still haven't
hives.
Really figured
you
out.
Have so much going on.
I do. I don't think about it, but I when I talk about it, I do. So I had him on the pellets, and he was so hungry. He was eating his poop. I felt so bad, but I was feeding him a lot. Like he was getting five. No, he was getting 6 3-quart scoops of pellets a day. He would get 2, 2, and 2, and. But he started eating his poop,
yeah.
And it wasn't really fixing his hives, so I moved him back over to hay. So he's not on pellets anymore, and he stopped eating his poop. But now, Autumn and Max are eating their poop.
Yeah.
Which means I have less to throw away.
Ew. And it's a natural behavior. They eat it all the time in the wild.
Well, the other thing, too, is they're eating their own poop.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're eating each other's poop, and I like to think that because I clean daily, that the odds of them eating poop that has fly eggs in it and getting a tapeworm or something are lower.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, got to do what you got to do. And your stable is so clean and well managed.
So is yours. I think any of our neighbors should be very happy that we're their neighbor, because I have seen some people in our neighborhood that
They ain't clean it. No. I clean twice a day in the summer because it's so gross.
Do you really?
Yeah, because the wind, we get those afternoon winds. And then if the poop dries out, it just blows. So it just like blows everywhere, like little tiny pieces.
Yeah.
And it annoys me and I get all psycho, like type A, and I can't have pieces of poop everywhere.
Yeah.
So if I clean it twice, it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seahorses and type A personalities go hand in hand really well. Anyway.
Anywho, so today's topic is going to be
coddling.
Coddling men and Mustangs.
Gotta be careful, y'all. And when we say men, we don't just mean men. We just happen to be with men. We mean like partners and Mustangs. So
yes,
coddling our men and coddling our Mustangs. We have to be careful. We have to be careful with that.
You
have to set up healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Whether it's your man or your Mustang.
Well, let's start with the Mustang.
Okay.
So I read this article on Facebook about coddling Mustangs, and I didn't really read the whole thing. But I did kind of understand what they meant by coddling Mustangs, because a Mustang was born free out on the range, and it only knows freedom, right? So now I have this Mustang that used to be free, and she's so sweet. And she looks at me and she does that Mustang. She does that horse language because she knows it really well.
She's an expert.
Because she's an expert. And when I'm lunging her, her head goes down and she does the, may I come back in? And I feel kind of sorry for her. And I understand what he means now by coddling, because it would be very easy for me to take it easy on her because of where she came from, as opposed to my domesticated horses. Do you know what I mean?
I do, because I think, especially if you've been around trained domesticated horses your whole life, they kind of all act the same way, right? Like we all have a similar language as trainers. We all kind of, as a standard, we all get on and off on the left, right? Like, doesn't matter what country you're in. So we all treat our domesticated horses a certain way. And then you meet this Mustang who's expert at Mustang language.
So I try to tell myself now when I'm with her, you're just a horse. You might be a Mustang. You might have started out your life a little differently, but you're just a horse. And I'm going to train you like a horse. And I'm going to ask for the same type of respect and the same exercises. And I will reprimand when necessary, like I would any other horse.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's she doing that's causing you that feeling of like, maybe having to create that boundary? Is she like getting into your space the way
she's so sweet?
Oh, she's so sweet.
And she just like, she puts her head down and she'll come. Her go-to is to shut down.
Mm.
And so if I'm lunging her and then I call her in, she'll come in and then she just stands there and wants to just put her head down. And all of a sudden my emotion's like,
Aw, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
You know, did I push you too hard? Am I asking too much? And I'm not, you know, if I'm using my handy stick or my carrot stick and I'm trying to get her to go and she gets in the way, you know, because she's not moving out of the way, you know, and I tap her, I'm like, oh, you know, now I feel like I'm beating you, which is what I felt like with Kaya when I was trying to teach Kaya how to side pass. I always felt like I was just like beating her on the nose, and I wasn't, but I didn't feel as bad. I did feel bad, but I didn't feel as bad as when I just look at Sierra. When I look at Sierra, I'm just like, you were so beautiful. And once you were free and you were running around and you had nothing binding you to anything. And now you're in my little arena and I'm asking you to do all this stuff. And you're just doing it because I'm making you like I've just bought and sold her. And like, So it's really hard to not coddle. And I think that I wish I had read the whole article.
Yeah.
And if that's not what he meant, I don't know. But I can only imagine that that's exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
Is that you shouldn't coddle your horses in general, let alone feeling extra sorry because you've taken this, not you personally, but you've taken this Mustang off the range and it's been gathered and traumatized.
And somehow it's pulling on your heartstrings because of its background.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I completely understand. I feel the same way about Bebe. She does this thing where she looks in, I'm going to get teary-eyed because I'm so menopausal. She looks at me and it's almost like I can read her mind and she can read my mind. It's this stare and she's like staring into my soul and it's very attentive and she's looking for a sign from me. It's different when Armani looks at me.
I was just going to say, how is that different than Armani?
Armani will look at me and he'll be like, bruh, let's go play. Right. Like he gives you this body language. He's just like glancing at you like, and he will pester me.
Yeah.
Like, I know you have treats, lady. And he will follow me like a little puppy dog and he wants me to play. But it's different than her. She stares at me with her eyes intently and she's staring from her face to my face. And then she gets in my face and she's not biting me the way that he did. She's just standing there staring into my eyes.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like you are trying to analyze me. Are you trying to like look me up and down with your radar eyes because that's what you had to do in the wild?
Yes.
And you're just analyzing the situation and trying to figure out, like, how do I connect with this two-legged thing, you know? Because she knows I feed her and I'm nice to her and I'm scratching her butt. I'm scratching all the right places.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely understand. It's like this sweetness. And I've trained a Mustang before that was totally sweet. And some of them really are truly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard not to do the coddling.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I feel like I did coddle my old gelding, Bob.
I felt like
him and I, we had a life together. And I coddle Autumn, your mare.
Yeah, you do.
I do. But I feel like we built this respect over time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a language of our own. And we knew each other so well in both relationships. Like Autumn knows me very, very well. Bob knew me very, very well.
Right.
And I feel like once you have that basis of respect, then coddling doesn't become a big deal unless it crosses boundaries.
Right.
And I think that happens with people.
Yes.
Like you have to set up those very healthy boundaries. Otherwise, they're going to get crossed. And the animal doesn't mean it.
No,
like,
oh,
like yesterday I happened to be outdoors when my neighbor threw a piece of wood in his yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that like she wasn't too close to me because, again, she's so sweet. She gets really close.
Right.
And I'm nervous that her big old head's going to hit my head.
Right.
Remember how Willow used to do that?
Yes.
Freaking horse, man. She knocked me down before.
So, did she?
Yeah. I completely understand because the wood flew and she freaked out. Like she spun on her back end and ran. And if I had been standing next to her,
wow,
she would have knocked me down.
Yeah.
Armani's done the same thing. And if I wasn't knowledgeable about where to put my body, I think I totally would have gotten hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. You would have. Yeah.
But I'm trying not to coddle her and make that healthy boundary like a space between that,
mm-hmm,
which again, not easy.
Now, how do you think this bleeds into coddling our men?
You know what's so crazy is, like, I think it's the same idea where not coddling isn't for them, it's for you. Like, it's for my safety that I'm not going to coddle my horses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't care either way. They get to hang out. They get to eat. They get to shit. They get to enjoy the sunshine and baths and all that, right?
Yeah.
Like, their lives. When you coddle an animal, the person or the organism that's going to get the most hurt is going to be the human,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I feel like that happens whether it's your partner relationship or whether it's your friends, quote, and I'm using quotations, quote unquote, friends, because I think that true friends are always going to reflect, right?
Yeah.
But I think that when you're with someone for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, the lines can get blurred because you cross lines with a partner that you wouldn't necessarily cross with an acquaintance,
right?
Because of just knowing them. So I think that setting up those healthy boundaries and not coddling is actually for you.
Yeah.
It's not for him or her. It's not for the horse.
Yeah.
It's so that you don't get hurt. And I'll be honest with you, like, I didn't set up truly healthy boundaries in my personal life until my late 30s. It took me a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, you see, I struggle with it. You've seen it go down.
Yes.
Because these things happen in my life and I haven't completely set up that boundary. It's like a fence. And this is how my therapist explained it.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you get to choose how high your fence is and what your fence is made of.
Right.
So I need to set a wall, like, around certain parts of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me that, like, you get to figure out how big around you is that wall.
Right.
You let some people over the wall.
Right.
Do you not? Are you going to have a double wall? A triple wall? And what are those materials? And do you have a moat at any point? So I think that I'm going through this learning journey and it's going to be just my whole life long.
Right.
Where I set up these healthy boundaries. And I think that horses have been the best teachers for me. But you have to reflect on it.
Yes.
And not everyone does. So
I think the reason why we were calling this episode Coddling Men and Mustangs is because we've noticed, and we want to share with our listeners, that we've noticed that our men, through time, and they're getting older too, they're starting to display signs of, you know, hormonal change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we're crazy. You know, and or that, you know, they're getting sometimes, like, my husband will get upset or something will trigger it, and I'm looking at him and thinking, what did I say? I you know, and I think that as men get older, their hormones are changing too, but mm-hmm. nobody ever talks about that. It's always us. It's always our hormones are changing. We're the ones that are crazy. We're the ones with the imbalance. And men are just allowed to be able to behave how they behave. And nobody ever talks about, wait, you know, you guys are in your late 50s and your hormones are changing too. And you've got things going on that require medication. And that changes your chemical balance of everything. And
literally.
And ladies, it's not you.
No.
Not you.
It's not.
It's your men.
Yeah.
And we have to coddle them.
There is coddling that must occur.
It does. And I think the reason is because we have to be the emotionally and psychologically mature partner in the marriage to be able to recognize what they will not
admit to.
Exactly. They will not admit and will not go to therapy for and will not reflect. You know, they're not going to look back at a situation and reflect how they could have maybe handled that differently. There was a situation where I was trying to be helpful and I was getting snapped at. And I've done that before too, where I was in the middle of something mental and, like, all of a sudden I'm getting all these questions and I snap. And then later I apologize. Well, this was reverse and it was me asking what I thought was simple questions and I was getting snapped at. And then later it was brought to my attention, you know, I was kind of in the middle of something and your questions just were not at the right time. And I said, oh, you know what? I recognize that. But then I told him, you know, you still owe me an apology.
I love that for you. That's a great boundary.
Well, it is, because, and I wasn't angry about it, and I wasn't snotty, but I was like, you did exactly what I do to you, and I apologize for, and I need you to be aware that that's what you did, and just apologize. And he did.
Wonderful.
But I don't think he understood why he was doing it. I think he just did it to because he was on his way to work.
Or maybe he was coddling you.
Maybe.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I think the best relationships, you have to have that back and forth.
Yeah.
And I think that you're right when it comes to an unawareness.
Yeah.
Of how men get to navigate our planet and then the changes that they go through and how it actually affects them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know like testosterone in an 18 and 19 year old is their peak.
Right.
Okay. By the age of 30, it's half. So 50, 60, I mean, you're looking at 25% of the amount of hormone in their bodies than when they were young.
Right.
And no one talks about, you know, treatment. And I love that we're so aware of women treatment more than we were before.
Right.
So I need this to keep steamrolling.
Before it was the Salem witch trials, you know, for those core menopausal women.
And I feel like we still have that metaphorically. Like, people will say, oh, you're passionate. I can't handle it. I'm going to blow up right now. Thinking back when a coworker of mine called me passionate to my face. Really? Really?
What did you feel was
this
offensive
was in
by that?
Reference to the education of children and doing what was right for them.
Well, and what's and wrong setting, with being passionate?
Because it's code. It is work code for bitch.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And that's a really hard thing to navigate, is that as a woman, right? Like, you have to navigate your internal emotions you have going on, but you can't come off too strongly because then you're a bitch.
Right.
And they're just going to use code against you.
Right.
Right. And I know how smart I am now, because I had imposter syndrome forever, because we do that too.
Yeah.
Right. And I know how smart I am, and I know how much of a high bar I set for other people's children. And how much I really do want the public to be educated and have a baseline of education for everyone.
Right.
What state in the United States that you're in.
Right.
And I think it's really shitty.
Yeah.
That someone stared me in the face and said, well, you're really passionate about the standards. Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I think that one of the things that set me free as a young woman was education.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't have education, I would be nowhere.
Right.
Right. Like, I can't be the independent Kara.
Right.
And navigate the world with a paycheck.
Right.
If I didn't have high standards
right.
for my own education. And I kept seeing gaps where I work. And I just thought, you know, like, we need to make sure that all the kids are having all the opportunities.
Right.
And that's the backlash that I get in a meeting.
Yeah.
You're passionate.
Yeah.
Cool, man. You say that to my face.
And that's interesting, because I refer to myself as being passionate. When I get upset or angry about something, I always just say, I guess I'm just being passionate.
See, and I took it the wrong way. Maybe that's...
No, you took it your way. You took it the way that you felt it was coming off. And I'm just showing another way. There's no wrong way.
No.
Just another way.
Thank you, friend.
You're welcome.
And maybe he didn't mean it that way, but I took it
that way. Oh, he meant it that way.
Okay. Because I feel like there were these little micro things that he would do, like little microaggressions.
Yeah.
Where, like, he would be in a meeting and then he would cut a woman off.
Right.
But he wouldn't cut a man off while they were talking.
All right.
Or he would let the man who was literally, like, hijacking our meeting and, like, freaking out.
Right.
He would let that person hijack and not tell that person to stop.
Yeah.
Like, how is that okay? But you're going to cut me off while I'm talking?
Right.
So it was just like this imbalance between the treatment of the two sexes. And I just thought, well, that's not fair.
Yes.
You know? And I think that, like, maybe society is headed in a direction where we can set up these healthy boundaries for everyone. And I know that, like, not everyone is a super fan of the younger generations, because I think you know, as time goes by, there's always these critiques of like the young generation this and the young generation that.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things about the younger generations is the way that they treat each other. That like they actually will listen a lot of times before they react.
Do you think so?
Oh my gosh. I get to, I literally get to see it at school.
All I see is Facebook and watch these crazy, horrific documentaries on Netflix about the younger generation sense of entitlement and acting out and getting their friends killed.
I think
a lot
of that is, what do they call that when it's like, it's in like a sound room and then it's just like amplified. I think there's like a lot of amplified voices.
Oh. Okay.
That, like that can happen in social media, but on a day-to-day basis where you're interacting with young people, they're actually way more considerate towards each other. Even when they're like really mad at each other and they want to beat each other up, they're more considerate of each other if you're like with them in a room.
Well, and you know what's interesting too, while you were saying that, I'm thinking you're seeing them as school children. I'm meeting the younger generation in the work environment.
Truth.
And in the work environment, they're different.
They are different.
They're just
different.
I don't know what happens when they go from school to working. A lot of them don't want to work.
And maybe that's coddling.
Maybe.
I don't, like, at what point do we change things? You know, like, our whole system is set up the way that it's set up. Like, we have to make sure that our relationships with our horses are successful. We have to make sure that our relationships with our mates are successful. You want to make sure that your child can navigate the world successfully.
Right.
But, like, think about the age at which people leave the home. Used to be 18. I didn't leave until I was in my early 20s.
Oh, I didn't either.
I think my mom left when she was 16.
I don't know.
My grandma, like, literally moved out when she was, like, 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. And the grandma before that was 14.
Wow.
So I feel like things have just changed. Like, are we coddling our children in society too?
I don't know. Yeah.
Big question.
It is a big question.
Like, how do you navigate that? And what are the consequences of that? Because I know if I coddle my Mustang, I'm going to get hurt.
Right.
If I coddle my husband too much or not enough, I'm going to get hurt. Because I have to. We had a disagreement. He said something like you were saying. He said something to me and I felt like it was stabbing me with a word. Mm-hmm. He snapped at me last night and all I had to do was look at him. I literally looked into his eyes and I just like rolled them and I looked at him deeply and he just stopped. He stopped mid-thought, mid-sentence, mid-word. And I could see the look on his face. I read it. It was, I'm going to shut the fuck up right now. Because I know you're going to beat me, like, verbally. Like, yeah. And I won't. But we have this understanding where if you cross a line with me, and I think this is just my walls coming up, like, I can't take it.
Right.
Like, if you're going to snap at me, that is not the kind of relationship that I want.
No.
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 And it's, he is a different person.
Yeah.
And so maybe, like, sometimes I wonder, you know, like, why are some marriages successful and some marriages aren't? Like, if people talk about marriage in the past, okay, well, maybe people stayed married, but maybe they were really unhappy.
I think that is a big part of it, where they just didn't really know how to communicate. Or the one that was the emotionally mature person in the relationship didn't know how to navigate that and just left.
I get that.
You know?
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Because you have to be reflective for you and the other person.
Yes.
And you don't always have the bandwidth for it.
No.
Oh, and then your hormones change and you don't give up.
Fuck. Well, and that's just it. Your hormones, well, both of your hormones change, but yours change and it's thrown back at you.
I know.
You know? But their hormones change and it's just part of them being who they are.
Yeah, and they just navigate.
And it's like, why can't they be more self-aware and say, hey, you know, I'm going through something and I'm having a hormonal change and maybe I snapped a little too soon and maybe I didn't need to say what I said or maybe that shouldn't have been a trigger and maybe the next time it comes up, I'll handle it differently. But that doesn't seem to be happening for me.
I know. I'm getting flack because I don't want to wear a two-piece bathing suit anymore. My husband likes it when I wear a two-piece bathing suit, and I just don't feel as comfortable. So that's something that I find really interesting. And I think it's part of like that whole thing where my body is public, but no one's going to talk about his.
Right.
Right. And I want to say it was 2 years ago, because right now I'm wearing my muumuu. And 2 years ago, I was wearing my muumuu, my house muumuu. And it was so funny. My husband came home early and he's like, please don't wear that in public. And he kept giving me kind of flack for it. And I just was getting a little upset because I think like I don't get a lot of criticism or not the word criticism, but like critiques. He never really critiques me ever. Like he never says anything about the way I look or my hair or my makeup or anything. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't. And it's one of my favorite things about him.
Right.
So when he does say something, it tends to like
hit harder
and like play in my brain.
Yeah.
So he said something about my muumuu. And at the time, I was going through a lot with my uterus. And my uterus was having a party that I didn't want her to have. And she was just,
yeah,
it was almost like miscarriages all the time, like nonstop. Out of a month, I'd been bleeding for 3 weeks.
Right.
So when you're going through those crazy menopausal periods.
Yeah, a muumuu is the right thing to wear.
A muumuu is the right thing to wear. And I remember like his mom said something and we were coming home and I had my muumuu on. And I snapped and I turned at him and I said, you know what? Your mom wore a muumuu too. And I said, and maybe there's a reason why she wore one. And like, that was it. He saw the look in my eye. I saw the look in his and he did that. I better shut the fuck up.
Right.
Because that was my barrier. Like, you can't comment. And then he said to me, okay, if you could just please not wear muumuus in public. And I was like, okay. And then I wore it the next day.
But see, that's where, you know, because my, you know, I worked from home 100%. And I do not dress up. I, you know, I keep getting told I look like the homeless dress better than I do.
Oh.
And I'm like, and I, you know, he laughs and I laugh and it's fine. But I'm just, I wonder why?
Like, what does that matter?
Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm saving money on laundry.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, it gets annoying after a while. And it's like the same joke over and over.
Do you ever say anything about what he wears?
No.
I never say anything
about
what my husband wears.
No.
It doesn't even cross my mind.
No, I don't even think about it.
No. And they get to wear less clothing than us.
I know.
And like it be socially acceptable.
Yes. I mean, personally, I don't know that I would feel comfortable just because of the way I was brought up mm-hmm. and my own experiences, you know, as a teenager. I don't know that I could walk around without a shirt on. But damn it, I should be able to.
Should be able to.
It shouldn't be against the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's against the law.
I know.
But men have nipples. We have nipples. They have nipples. Their
they
nipples
just don't
are
have,
showing.
They are.
They don't just, have mammary glands.
They don't have mammary glands.
So it's the mammary glands?
So we have to hide our mammary glands.
I mean, is that what that's about?
I don't know, because have you ever seen that meme where it's like a... you ever seen that meme where it's like a guy's boob and a girl's boob and they have side by side and then you like flip to the bottom and the guy's boobs are bigger than the girl's? Did you ever see that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's freaking hilarious. I have to post it now on our social media. But that meme came out, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, and it made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because I just thought,
how is that different? So his big boob is because of fat.
Mm-hmm.
Our big boobs or our boobs are because of mammary glands. We both have nipples. So what is the difference?
I don't know. Because as soon as you put implants behind a dude's boobs on TV, you have to hide the nipple. But before the implant, you can show the nipple. If you watch any of those TV shows.
Really?
Yes. If you watch Dr. 90210, when they go to do the surgery, I am not kidding you. This is like, I cannot believe we're talking about this right now. It's one of my favorite topics. It's just the freedom to be you. And when you watch the surgeries of a man getting his boobs done because he's getting his top done to be trans.
Right.
Or he is trans and he's expressing himself. Okay.
Yeah.
As soon as they put the silicone or water
which isn't
underneath.
Even a mammary gland.
Right. They literally like fuzz out the nipple. Prior to putting the implant, they don't. They can cut it. They can show it. But the moment you put a bulge behind the nipple, they blur out the nipple. And it's not a mammary gland.
It's an implant.
That makes no sense.
I know. And I noticed this a long time ago. And then my husband sent me that meme because I tripped out on it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
One of my best friend's dad is a Superior Court judge. And I would always talk to him about these things because I used to go to her house every day after school for like 3 years. And I would talk to him about these laws. And I remember one day in particular, I'm sitting there eating like my, what was that? String cheese. I'm like, this isn't fair. And he's like, you know what, Kara? It's not fair. But that's the law. I was like,
I don't get it.
I know. I know. So these laws are boundaries to keep us healthy. And then we have like these personal boundaries to keep us healthy. And we have to do it with like everything. Our dogs.
Yeah.
Our horses. Our friends.
Yeah.
Our mates. Our loved ones. Our family members that can take advantage.
Yeah.
Right? Those boundaries are to keep you healthy.
Yeah.
And girls, boys, everyone in between, like set those boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
so coddling Mustangs, no. Coddling your husbands, yes.
See, and I would say coddling husbands and coddling Mustangs, I would actually say yes to both after you have that layer of respect.
Yes.
Where it's more of a push-pull instead of just a push.
Yeah.
So if like you're getting pushed unhealthily by your Mustang, all right, well, you need to learn how to set that boundary. Then the horse is like, okay, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And then you can coddle and have that back and forth relationship.
Yeah.
But until that base layer of respect and knowledge and time is a part of that.
Yeah.
You have to have time, repetition, and then you can do the coddling.
Yes.
Because one of my favorite things about Bob, my gelding that passed away, is that he and I would just have so much fun together, and I would coddle him and he would coddle me. Like, we literally had a loving relationship, an interspecies loving relationship. And I miss him every day.
I know. I know. He was a great horse.
He's a great horse. He would do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And I would do whatever he wanted.
Yeah. He was great.
It took me, I don't know, maybe 5 years to really get that with him.
Yeah.
It was when we started trail riding.
Mm-hmm.
It was after trail riding, he would do whatever I wanted. I think he realized he was safe.
Yeah.
With you and me.
Yeah.
And Autumn.
And he was happy because we were getting him out of the barn and out of the stall. And, you know.
He didn't have to jump anything.
No. No.
He was not made for jumping, but he was so cute over fences. He was like a butterball turkey.
Yeah.
I love him.
So,
friends, coddle maybe after respect is laid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And coddle your partners, but, you know, call them out on their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if it's getting a little too much, you know, they need to understand that they may not recognize that they're going through a menopause. But we recognize they are going through a menopause, and they, you know, we need to show some grace, but they need to understand that we're recognizing it, you know, and we're not crazy.
No, no, we're not crazy.
No.
And I would love for everyone to admit that if you're lucky, like, these are the things that happen to you, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're lucky, you live this long for these changes instead of looking at it like, oh, now she has saggy skin. Now they have big bellies. Now their ass has saggy skin.
Like,
I feel like my husband doesn't always, you know, he misses his old athletic body the way that I miss
we
my
all
old.
Do.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But isn't that the gift that you get?
Yeah.
Is that you get, your body changes all the time.
The gift is that you're getting old.
The gift is you're getting old.
Yeah.
And you're here spending it with loved ones. And I wish that we in our society had a better view of our bodies and our bodies changing.
I agree. Because even in our video when I was talking about my neck, you know, I wish I didn't care. I mean, and I normally don't. I normally don't. But when we were doing the video, I was like looking right at it, you know. But but it's true. You know, we do. We get very self-conscious. And
we do.
We shouldn't.
And I hope the younger generations can change that.
And I'll tell you what, during the wintertime, I'm going to dress however I want to dress.
You're going to look
because it
a little
is
bummy.
So cold. At least in the summertime, I can wear shorts and a t-shirt, and that looks kind of cute. In the winter, I am warm.
Oh,
I wear whatever I have to wear, big-ass socks and
sweatpants and a big sweater, and I don't care. My hair's in a bun. Mm-hmm. I don't wear makeup. I have to go into work tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know what to do about makeup.
You have to people. You got to people tomorrow.
I do. So, but it'll be interesting.
My favorite outfit in the winter is my $2 Walmart sweatpants.
Oh, I know. You love those sweatpants.
They're lined.
They're so warm.
So if anyone is living in the cold area and you haven't hit up Walmart, you need to look at walmart.com.
Yeah.
They are not our sponsors, but they have the best sweatpants that are lined with fleece. And it could be 7 degrees outside. I don't feel it.
Yeah.
I'm cooking.
So is that it? Is there more you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think that kind of brings us to a close.
And okay.
I'm really glad that I have you on this journey because I feel like...
Me too.
When we get to talk about stuff like this, it makes me reflect that like I'm not the only one feeling this way and that yes. I don't feel alone.
Right.
Especially when you're with someone long term and I can bounce those thoughts off of you.
Yes.
It makes me feel like, okay, this is just a natural part of a person aging.
Yeah.
Whether they're male or female.
Well, and you know, the other funny thing too is that our husbands kind of come from very different backgrounds, but they're a lot alike in some respects.
They're a lot alike.
And it's helpful because I can say something to you about what I'm going through and you relate. And same with you. You'll tell me something and I can 100% relate. And it also helps that I'm a little bit like your husband as well.
You are similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. But in a good, all the good ways.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well,
love
nice
you, friend.
Talk. I love you too.
Toodles.
And toodles.
Hey, friends. That's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Sandy and Kara stirrups swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild birds call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not looking back.